Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Afghanistan. I welcome Bill Rajo, Senior Fellow, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He keeps the Longword Journal with his colleagues. To address Afghanistan 2021, the catastrophe of August of 2021, and suggest that there is something to be learned about the decision-making in 2021, that perhaps we can find a way through the maze by looking at 2024. Right now, I read from the New York Times report. A top White House official ordered cabinet secretaries on Tuesday to keep his office informed when they may not be able to perform their duties after Defense Secretary Lloyd J. Austin was hospitalized for several days last week without telling President Biden or his staff. Goes on to say, this is official from the chief of staff. You've got to tell us where you are. Mr. Austin, we're told, was in some distress, and on New Year's Day, January 1st, he was taken by ambulance to Walter Reed Hospital, and he remains, we're told, accepting remedies, but at the same time, the question is, how long did it take for other parts of the chain of command to know he was in hospital? The reason I bring this up, Bill, is because this has to do with who tells whom what, and that was an Afghanistan problem. 2 years later, we still don't have an answer. Maybe there's a straightforward answer about Mr. Austin here, but there is no straightforward answer about the Afghanistan withdrawal. As I understand it, reading most recently, there was a CENTCOM commander in charge of the whole operation. There was Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. There was Andrew Sullivan, still in office, National Security Counselor. And there was Antony Blinken, Secretary of State. At some point, decisions were made for the U.S. to leave, and the chain of command then gave its advice to the superior above, the CENTCOM commander to Mark Milley, Mark Milley to the president. The Secretary of Defense at the time was Mr. Austin. To this day, do we understand who said to leave, who said to leave a force behind, who said this will be problematic if we try to exit from Kabul as opposed to using Bagram? Do we know, Bill? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yeah, on Afghanistan, the question, what we were told by the two retired generals, General Milley, again, Chairman Joint Chiefs of Staff, General McKenzie, that they both advised to keep Bagram open, to keep troops behind in Afghanistan. But somewhere they were overruled. And the problem was that President Biden only wanted to keep 1,000 troops in country and the State Department wanted to keep the embassy open in Kabul. And in order to do that, you'd need to keep security at the airport at Kabul International. And 1,000 troops isn't enough to do all three of those missions. So the withdrawal was issued. But according to President Biden, he said that no one advised him to keep troops in Afghanistan. But General Milley, as chairman of Joint Chiefs of Staff, is a direct advisor to both the president, the secretary of state, and as well as the National Security Council. So did he advise the president directly? Is he lying? Is President Biden lying? Where is this disconnect? Did he advise the secretary of defense, Secretary Austin? I want to take a look back the last couple of days. Secretary Austin disappeared for 3 days and no one even noticed. Orders were issued in his name. There was a strike that killed a terrorist commander, a Shia commander, Iranian-backed commander in Iraq. Was that order issued under Secretary Austin's name? How does a Secretary of Defense go into an emergency room? And my understanding, he was in the ICU, and the president and the Secretary of State and the, you know, all of the principals in the national security establishment weren't aware that he was missing. This is astounding. And it does, John, it raises a lot of questions about what happened in Iraq. What was Secretary Austin's importance in the decision-making process? If he was advised by General Milley that we should keep troops in Afghanistan, did Secretary Austin tell this to the president?
And Secretary Austin was a veteran CENTCOM. He knew the terrain perfectly.
Exactly. This is, you know, he's not a civilian Secretary of State. He was a four-star general in the U.S. military. He understands all of these things, or at least he should. And this is why this disappearance raises raises a lot of questions about what is going on in the White House. How were decisions made in Afghanistan? How were decisions made in Ukraine? How were decisions made in the Israel-Hamas war? I'd like to know the answers to these questions.
Let's come up today. We can't answer 2021. We can't answer 2024. We can't do it. We can point to questions to be answered later, perhaps by the PhD dissertations in the 24th century. I don't know, but we're going to go to why.
Congress really should get to the bottom of this. They have oversight authority, and they tend to be pliant and accepting when it comes to the U.S. military. But this needs to stop. Secretary Austin is in, you know, sixth in line of succession and is in direct line for nuclear launch. His disappearance is not a trivial matter here, and the Congress really should exercise its oversight authority and get to the bottom of this.
Afghanistan 2024, headline Reuters in these last days. Exclusive: U.S. intelligence confirms Islamic State's Afghanistan branch behind Iran blasts. This is a terror attack in Iran. It led to many deaths. I saw the number 100. I never got any clarity. It's out of the Islamic Republic. There's no transparency. But it was the occasion of a commemoration of Soleimani's death. His death was a targeted killing that took place in Iraq by order of the Trump administration. However, the detail here is that the Islamic State ordered this attack in Iran, and it ordered it from Afghanistan. Over these last 2 years, we've watched the Islamic State poke around in Afghanistan, but the understanding was that the Taliban and its best guest, Al-Qaeda, were in charge of the apparatus in Afghanistan. This tells me that ISIS has some permission that needs to be understood, because, Bill, as I recall, there was always the open question whether ISIS or Al-Qaeda participated in the bomb attack on the 13 KIA Marines at Karzai Airport in August of 2021. We never knew, at least I didn't know, whether it was ISIS, Al-Qaeda, or Taliban who launched that attack. Now, 2 years later, we get an attack out of Afghanistan. What is ISIS in Afghanistan?
Yes, John, the Islamic State is certainly an enemy of the Taliban. However, there are some elements of the Taliban, the Haqqanis being one of them, that have used the Islamic State to further its purposes. Now, the Islamic State, it's not surprising that they claim credit for this attack, that they would have executed it. If they would have done so, there are Baluch terror groups that have launched attacks in Iran.
The attack in Iran, that's what you're saying.
Yes, right. And these Baluch groups cross the border from Pakistan through Afghanistan into Iran. And that's what the Islamic State would leverage, this network. That isn't surprising. You know, what was surprising to me about this story that came out was that people in the intelligence community were eager to communicate that we intercepted communications between the Islamic State in Iraq and Afghanistan. That's really irresponsible. It's the kind of thing you want to keep your methods. We shouldn't be tipping our hand that we're listening to their communications. But, you know, a lot of people like to brag in the intelligence community these days. So the Islamic State does some things that the Taliban doesn't like. It assassinates Taliban officials and launches some small scale attacks, and it launches attacks across the borders in other countries. But this isn't unusual in Afghanistan. Keep in mind, groups like the Movement of the Taliban in Pakistan, which is in the Taliban Al Qaeda sphere, launch attacks near daily inside of Pakistan. So Afghanistan is a terror haven. Groups like the Islamic State, you know, if the Taliban had its way, it would get rid of this group, but it has staying power with a couple of thousand fighters that are just hardcore and able to navigate the complex terrorist scene that is Afghanistan.
Well, where are they, Bill? Does ISIS have an address in Afghanistan? Is it two-faced? Is it Al-Qaeda during the day and ISIS at night, or Taliban in the afternoon? What do we know about how they operate in a terror state?
It is a good question, and it does raise a lot of questions. I suspect in some cases, you know, your guess that is it the two-faced, right? Taliban or Al-Qaeda in the day and Islamic State at night. That is certainly a possibility. This is probably the nexus with the Haqqanis where they become useful. But in some instances, you know, they are an entity of their own. They have carved out some small areas where they're able to operate with the help of some in southeastern Afghanistan, southwestern and northeastern Afghanistan. They have small pockets where they're known to operate, and the Taliban targets them routinely and kills them, you know, a number of them at a time. But it's a group that provides an outlet for the most extreme of the extremists, for disaffected members of Al-Qaeda or the Taliban, those who feel marginalized or those who just really want to get their jihad on. That's what those gravitate to, the Islamic State. And that's why they're able to keep a presence that's estimated of several thousand. Keep in mind, Al-Qaeda probably has thousands of fighters of its own. The movement in Taliban in Pakistan, probably 10,000 fighters. And the Taliban itself at any point in time could have anywhere from 100,000 to 200,000 fighters, you know, under arms, active at any time. So the Islamic State's really a tertiary actor in all of this. It's a stubborn one, and it's one that's often used, in my estimation, by elements of the Taliban to further its goals.
And to stay with the Afghanistan model, the abandonment of Afghanistan 2 years ago, that is now a platform for transnational attacks, not necessarily directed against the U.S. and its allies, but directed against, you know, pick your poison, and that it is ungoverned space, which is what we were told when we went into Afghanistan was the problem. Ungoverned space drifts towards piracy and cutthroats. And that's what Afghanistan is today. Is that a fair generalization?
I would say yes and no. I mean, it's governed, but it's governed by a terrorist group. So this, you know, terrorism breeds terrorism, and this is what you get. So there is an element of terrorism or of governance there, but they're used to dealing with things in their ways, with suicide attacks, with suppressing human rights, with, you know, targeting women, with targeting their enemies, you know, former members of the Afghan security forces. So it's governed. It's just governed by the wrong people.
And for just to put a punctuation on it, the opinion in 2021 is that were the U.S. and NATO to leave a force of 2,000 to 4,000 at Bagram Airport, the Kabul would not have fallen to the Taliban. They were not equipped to take on the U.S. military with its air element. Is that correct now, Bill, two and a half years later?
I believe that is correct. If we would have continued supporting, as the imperfect as the Afghan government and the Afghan military was, if we would have continued supporting them. Look, there were a lot of problems at the time before the withdrawal was announced. Really, at the time that the Trump administration announced the deal, there were a lot of problems with the Afghan government. But the fact is that the day that President Biden announced the withdrawal, the Afghan government was still in charge and the Afghan military was still battling the Taliban. And with, you know, 2,000 to 4,000 American troops in country, if we would have reorganized that mission and provided them the support that they needed, I believe the Afghan government would still be fighting the Taliban to this day.
We don't have clarity about who made the decision to leave, who listened or did not listen to advice not to leave. We don't have clarity on that, just as we don't with Secretary Austin. We can presume it will come in time. We're going to turn to active fighting, going on right now between the U.S. and militia commanders backed by Iran in Iraq when we come back. Bill Raggio is senior fellow of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. He and his colleagues keep the Long War Journal. I'm John Batten.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one-coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.